We certainly want to continue to pray for those in California having lost loved ones, and so many have lost homes and businesses and so forth. Well, we hope that's coming to an end by the time this airs on the Lord's Day. Well, something else to mention here, we need to pray for our new president and his administration, that they would lead in such a way that our nation would head in the right direction, becoming more godly. And certainly that would be a great blessing. Now, last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned that the Holy Spirit is not an element like gas or vapor or liquid. Of course not. The Bible is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is eternal and existed before the Word of God was written. In fact, the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I'm using spirit instead of ghost, as the King James translators understood that to mean guest, not as we would see the word ghost. So I'm going to continue to use the word spirit. I emphasized in the parable of the sower, Jesus called the word of God the word of the kingdom and the seed. Now this is Matthew 13:19 and Luke 8:11. The word of God was the seed. Now, and representing, you know, the seed was representing the word of God in that parable. And thus the Holy Spirit brought forth the seed, that is the Word of God. And so when the Word of God is planted in a honest and good heart, a mind, well, what's it going to bring forth? The seed, the Word of God, is going to bring forth after its own kind, per the law of sowing and reaping. Thus a Christian is going to be produced and not a denominational plant. As Jesus said, if my Heavenly Father has not planted it, it's going to be rooted up, Matthew 15:13. Now, Galatians 6:7-8, there's the law of sowing and reaping. Now, something else we emphasize, that the Holy Spirit is a divine person, and thus Christ speaks of him as a person. He, masculine, John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. And the third person of the Godhead has the same characteristics as God the Father and God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God. They're all three, of course, God. God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God the Word, of course, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we refer to him now as God the Son. And we noted that the Holy Spirit has the attributes of deity. We went over a number of those. Won't take the time to do that again, but if you missed it, there are, of course, on our website, a number of radio programs going back a number of years, and you could listen to that if you wanted to hear that about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to get back into our study, and we'll want to do that in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, which, of course, we use the initials PFE to remind us this is what we need to be doing every day of our life. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street. That's here in Martinsville, as we gather together in our Bible classes. Well, of course, we want to study God's precious Word, and I do emphasize precious. And then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit, with a proper attitude, but also in truth, that is, following the pattern God gave us in the New Testament. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, if you're interested in having a Bible study, we look forward to getting together and sitting down, opening up God's Word. Let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. Also, if you have Bible questions, please send those to us. Comments, positive or negative. And something else I'll mention. If you have a suggestion for a topic, such as we're studying now, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, there are a number of topics that we could spend more than one lesson upon, like evidences for the existence of God, evidences for the inspiration of the Bible, a study of types and antitypes. That's a very rewarding study. A study on angels, which would include Satan, just the church, work of the church, the organization of the church, whatever topics that you have in mind, send those to us, and then we'll plan to do that that study. Now, something else to mention is our address again is 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And I wanted to mention the Holy Spirit, of course, was involved in creation, as we noted last Lord's Day, Genesis 1-2. So, God the Father was the planner, the designer, and God the Word was the executor, brought things into existence. God the Holy Spirit was the organizer, the beautifier, brought things into organization. The same was true with the plan of redemption. God the Father, the planner, designer. God the Son, our Lord and Savior, was the executor of the plan of redemption by going to the cross and dying for our sins. God the Holy Spirit, again, was the organizer, inspiring the writers of all 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 certainly declare the inspiration of God's Word through the Holy Spirit inspiring the writers. Look at 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Those prophets, they didn't give their interpretation. It came from God the Holy Spirit. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we keep this in mind as we study the third person of the Godhead. His work continues, of course, today. Notice with me Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this is done in heaven. And so we know that this is a work of the Holy Spirit today. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is still working through the Word of God. That's right. The Bible teaches, yes, that the Holy Spirit dwells in Christians. But we need to ask the question, how? How does the Holy Spirit dwell in Christians? Well, by studying the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we can answer the question how. And let's begin that As we note, the Holy Spirit does these things that we're going to look at, but also we'll see the Word does the same thing. So this is what we want to really focus on, and we'll begin with this fact: the Holy Spirit instructs. Well, of course, the Word of God instructs. We all should understand that. Now let's look at Nehemiah 9:30. As, excuse me, the Levites were speaking here, and this was after the wall was finished. Ezra, the priest, had read the law of Moses distinctly, gave the sense, and caused them to understand readily. So that's a good study, and that was, you know, an earlier chapter there. But now in 9:30, here you have the Levites standing there on the stairwell, and, you know, the people are gathered there in Jerusalem. And notice verse 30, yet many years didst thou forbear them, speaking of God, and testifies against them by thy Spirit in thy prophets. Now in the American Standard, the word Spirit is capitalized. It's the Holy Spirit, yes, that inspired the prophets. Yet would they not give ear, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. God disciplined his people when they didn't heed his word. And his word was spoken through the prophets by the Holy Spirit, giving them the words to speak. So certainly the Holy Spirit instructs. Now notice for, again, 2 Timothy 3, and we'll back up to verse 14. As Paul, the inspired writer, speaking to the young evangelist Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now notice, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, have we known the Holy Scriptures from our childhood? Some of us have not. But it's not too late to begin now and continue to learn until we're no longer breathing. Never stop learning. And how wonderful it is if you start out as a child. And that's what Timothy had done. And Paul is pointing that out, which notice, are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. How does our faith come? Through hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, which is in Christ Jesus. That's being in the church, the body of Christ. Now, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, came from the mind of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What's lacking? Nothing is lacking. If you stay with the Word of God, it thoroughly furnishes us. It's all sufficient. Contains all things unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. I think I missed the verse last time. Now, let's go to another fact as we're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit today, but also the Word of God, as this is a parallel study. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, let's look at how they work in the new birth. Now remember, we talked about the seed has to be planted in a good and honest heart to produce a Christian. So to be converted, we must be born again. Now we're speaking of a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. As we go to John 3:5, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Well, that would be baptism, wouldn't it? In order to contact the blood of Christ, we have to be immersed. Romans 6:3-6, contacting the blood of Christ as he shed his blood in his death, and we are being baptized into his death. That's contacting his blood, isn't it? Now, the rest of the verse, and of the Spirit. So it's water and of the Spirit together. So he cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless he's been baptized into Christ, of course, after repenting and having made the good confession. This would be the candidate to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and thus the Holy Spirit is involved in the new birth. As you look at Ephesians 5, 26, and Titus 3, 5 as well, you'll see, you know, the new birth in these passages as well. Having a washing, that's baptism, regeneration. You'll see the parallels there if you want to study those verses along with John 3, 5. Ephesians 5, 26, and Titus 3, 5. Now we're going to see how the Word of God is involved in the new birth, as well as, of course, the Holy Spirit, as we've seen here, of the water and of the Spirit. We're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, and you must be converted to be born again spiritually and enter into the kingdom of God. Now notice 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, that's our subject, isn't it? Not of corruptible seed. What did we emphasize? The Holy Spirit enabled the Word of God to be written. The seed needs to be planted. And not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. That's plain, isn't it? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the Word of God is involved in the new birth as well as the Holy Spirit. Notice 1 Corinthians 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The gospel is the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this is in being begotten, being born again spiritually. Well, let's go on to the third thing we want to look at with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God doing the same thing, and that would be quickened. Well, the word quickeneth. Well, let's go to John 6:63. And we'll see this word, how it's used. It is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Now, this was in the context. Earlier, Jesus had fed 5,000, walked on water to the ship, and in verse 11, he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. They were fed miraculously, the Israelites were, as Moses, as the leader, and God provided them manna from heaven. Jesus is saying, I came down from heaven. Verse 35, I am the bread of life, in a spiritual sense. That's right. So the Holy Spirit quickeneth, that is, it giveth life, spiritual life. It is the Spirit that giveth life, the American Standard has. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So we want to emphasize that, and you can study 2 Corinthians 3:6 along with that. Now, let's note Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's given to me life. The Holy Spirit gives me life. The Word of God gives me life. Can we put the two together? Certainly we can. Let's go on. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God teach. Let's look at John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We used this verse last Lord's Day, did we not? Now note 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, the apostles, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Did we note that? The Holy Spirit teaches. Yes. And of course, the Word of God teaches. We all should understand that. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned, got to do both, of the Father cometh unto me. How do we learn? By what we've heard. That is the truth, the Word of God. It's written in the prophets. That's the Word of God, is it not? Well, let's note one other. This would be the fifth point. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God convict. John 16:7-8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, that would be the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Christ, speaking to the disciples, of course they would be the apostles, and he is noting the Holy Spirit is going to come unto them, but only when he departs. And Jesus will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to them. And the Holy Spirit is going to do what? Reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Well, he's going to do that through the Word, is he not? Notice Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful Word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainslayers. Yes, that's right. By the Word of God, that's sound doctrine. The elders are to do this. Paul is instructing them. They need to be able to do that by sound doctrine, not false doctrine, to exhort and to convince the gainslayer. That's to convict them. And the Holy Spirit does that through the Word of God. So we note that together. Now, number six, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God comforts. Well, we understand, of course, the Holy Spirit was called the Comforter, so we certainly understand that. Acts 9:31, let's look at some verses, though. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. That's what the results were. Yes, walking in the fear of the Lord. They were staying with what? The teachings of Christ. And of course, there was edification in doing these things. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Now, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. What words? Paul's inspired letter. Yes, to the Church of Christ in Thessalonica. And of course, Paul was speaking by inspiration. He was writing this letter by inspiration as an apostle of Christ. When he preached the truth, inspired of God, and he's writing this inspired letter by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we need to appreciate that. Well, I want us to put a peg here. We're not through with going through a number of other points here with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses. And this is vitally important for our understanding. So many people have a misunderstanding concerning this. But isn't it a rich study when we stay with what the Scriptures teach and we put things together and we're not all over the place? One person saying one thing and another the opposite, thinking that this pleases God. No, sir. The Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us God is not the author of confusion. That comes from man. So let's be dedicated to staying with what the Bible says. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And that's what we need to stay with. And we'll want to continue our study of the Holy Spirit, Lord willing, next week. But at this time, we want to mention, if you have not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to study further with you, to go through the pattern of the New Testament, staying with the Word of God, as we understand that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to start with hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Now, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he, shall die in your sins. Once we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, we're ready to repent. We should be motivated to get out of sin and turn our life around, going in a new direction. We're going to change our will. We hadn't been thinking properly. We've got to now align with the Word of God and submit to His will. Tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. Having repented, now we're ready to make the good confession, stating, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That is unto salvation. We're not there yet. This is Romans 10:9-10. Now, having made that good confession, we're ready to be immersed, buried underwater, as we talked about earlier. We're buried into the death of Christ. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life because the blood of Christ has cleansed us. Our sins are gone. They're washed away. And we're now, of course, submitting to the authority of Christ. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Submitting to His authority. Then the Lord will add us to His body, the true church, where we need to remain faithful even unto our death. And we'll have the victory. We thank you so much for listening today.